If you are just tuning in, this is the Kenai Conversation. We're running our interviews with each of the six candidates for HEA Board of Directors on the Central Kenai Peninsula. There are six candidates total running, four for the District 1 seat to represent Kenai, Nikiski, and part of Saldatna. They are Mike Chenault, Wayne Ogle, Eric Hendrickson, and Joseph Ross. Two candidates are on the ballot for District 2, representing Saldatna, Sterling, and Kisilov. Those candidates are Ed Schmidt and Robert Wall. Ed Schmidt is one of two candidates running for the District 2 seat. Schmidt is a retired surgeon and rancher, and he lives in Saldatna. First, why did you decide to run in the first place?
Because it's a very exciting time for energy and electricity. When you think about it, energy independence is critical for the Kenai Peninsula. We rely so much on electricity. Everything that we do has gotten to be, you know, very dependent on a stable supply of electricity. And the technology is changing so fast that with energy storage, with new sources of electricity, I think we're on the cusp of making really good decisions that will really make a big beneficial effect for the peninsula with our supply and distribution of energy.
What kind of decisions would you like to see made?
That's a complicated question because while I say I want to embrace all the new technology, I want to embrace new technology that works. I remember, you know, it's one of the advantages of being my age, but there used to be battery-powered drills or battery-powered screwdrivers, and they were awful. You'd buy them, they didn't have any power, they wouldn't hold a charge. And so for a long time, I just sort of neglected those. But then when I was building my house up here, it had always been a lifetime dream to build my own house, there was a battery-powered drill that, my goodness, it worked just amazingly. I could put one battery in my pocket, put the battery in the drill, and put on my entire roof, screwing through metal. That was a big change in battery storage technology. And I think that that's a lesson for us right now. From batteries that everybody said might work, we now have batteries that actually do work. And being able to store electricity and then use it later will solve a lot of problems. So to pick the best ones of those battery storage technologies and utilize them, I think will be really exciting. Because then that will lead to, okay, who else can generate power under what circumstances and feed it in and let us store this?
I know HEA has a goal of being 50% renewable by 2025. What do you think of having a goal like that? Do you think HEA should be even more ambitious? Is that a good goal for where we are right now? What do you think of having that goal to be that percent renewable in the next 4 to 5 years?
I'd back off and say that let's have a bigger goal of I want the cheapest, most reliable electricity. I want it so that nobody even knows HEA is around. You turn on the switch, your electricity comes on, you get a bill and you say, this really isn't all that bad. So my goal would be whatever matches that to get us toward that kind of cost. I've been following along with Berkshire Hathaway Energy. Warren Buffett's a hero of mine, usually makes pretty good decisions. He talked, it was years ago, about in Iowa, the electricity was going to be wind power. And he thought that he might be able to increase that by a certain percentage each year. Well, a couple of years ago at the meeting, it turns out Iowa is 100% wind energy. And at least from Berkshire Hathaway Energy, it's 6.2 cents a kilowatt hour. That's a quarter of what we're paying. Now, granted, there are big differences between the Kenai Peninsula and Alaska, but I also remember the evolution from saying it was impossible to even use any wind energy to, well, we might be able to use a little bit, to now they have so much electricity that they just need more customers because they can supply it at a very, very reasonable cost. So I would say that if we could match that, I would say we should have 100% renewable tomorrow. If there are things that don't allow us to match that, I wouldn't want to spend a lot of money on a system that doesn't work and that doesn't meet those goals, where you go to turn on the lights and nothing happens and you get your bill and say, oh my gosh, I need a loan. Yeah, we need to balance that.
Can you talk about your experience and what about your past work and life experiences are conducive to a role like this?
Yeah, I'm a retired surgeon and a rancher. And with surgery, the key thing that you have to do is if I did an operation, it had to work. I couldn't kill you. I couldn't have complications. In discussing the operation, it was just a given that it had to work. But if there were better ways to do it, the last thing you wanted to do was ignore those. You didn't want to be the first one to jump on the new bandwagon, but as soon as somebody demonstrated a big improvement, then by golly, I needed to adopt that. So it turned out I was one of the first in the country to do laparoscopic operations. A very simple idea, if you poke little holes in people rather than cut them open, they get better quicker. That was amazing, the resistance to that. Now it just seems so obvious because so many things are done that way. But it was an example of being aware of a better way to do something, being proven that it works, and then jumping on it. And then my ranching, I didn't have power at the ranch. I had one of the biggest cow-calf operations in the country, and I didn't have power. I had to drag around an electric generator, and that was a terrible nuisance. I could do it, but it was great when the electric co-op was able to cross the railroad tracks and give me power. I lived in a solar house in Colorado at 7,800 feet. There were problems with that. Sometimes it was really cold, but I really appreciated the savings I got not having to pay a giant utility bill. So I'm very aware of the trade-offs when you make these decisions. And again, it has to work and it has to be reasonable.
You talked a lot about renewable power. Is there any sort of renewable project or initiative or power source that you're particularly excited about, or anything that you've seen develop or grow over the last couple of years that you think shows a lot of potential in particular?
Yes, wind, and I'm biased because I was at the first national wind energy conference in this country. It was in Colorado Springs, and the local electric co-op XL was just madly against it. They were talking about, we wanted 2% wind energy. And XL was against that. People were saying, if you stop this, we'll have a voter initiative and get up to 10%. But my ranch had a power transmission line through it for 12 miles on a ridge. We had a transmission line. And so the two components of wind is you needed to have a lot of wind so you could set up these windmills, but then you needed to get a transmission line to get it to the plant. And I was standing there as five people gathered around saying, we will loan you or give you $150 million. We know how these things work. We know how long the windmill works. We know what we can sell it for. It's a money printing machine. And that was pretty powerful for me to sit there and see people legitimately saying, if I could prove I had the wind on that ridge, they would back it. However I wanted to do that. And then follow along with what Berkshire's done in Iowa, wind is the real deal. I'm not certain that we have the wind capacity anywhere on the peninsula near the power line or near a transmission line, but I bet we do. So I'm super excited about that. And then the tidal technology. We have the second or third biggest tides in the world. I recognize there are a lot of implements to keeping a turbine running without it getting clogged up, without it interfering with salmon runs. But I would suspect that technology is very, very close to being ready to go. And so I would be excited to learn what our opportunities for that are. And then the solar, one of our advantages is our relative high cost of power. So it makes solar power, which is getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, much more effective, especially in the summer for us. Combine that with grid storage. We have big opportunities here that, again, most of my life I was reluctant to even consider. But now I think a lot of this stuff has been proven to work. So that's real exciting to me. I love progress.
Robert Wall is also running for the District 2 seat. Wall is a drilling rig supervisor and owns a small commercial farm. He lives in Sterling. So tell me about why you decided to run.
Well, I had half a dozen friends tell me there's an opening, and I wasn't even aware of it. I'd been so busy doing other things. And one of them, Ed Oberts, he's on the board, and he really encouraged me. So I turned in my resume and everything the very last day. Got to 27 signatures. I think you're supposed to have 15. And I think I could help the board. I've talked to quite a few people that work there, and they're excited that I'm running. And they think that it'd be a good job for me to do, because I've done a lot of managing of people and projects in the oil field, and I know how to troubleshoot and keep people moving forward. And I've got a meeting next week with Brad, the GM, and I've been talking to some of the engineering leads with HEA, just trying to learn about what they're doing. And I have been looking at their battery bank on the Sterling Highway out there towards they call it the Soldotna Power Plant, and their Tesla batteries. And I questioned them about how close they were to the highway, because they're very large lithium batteries. And I don't know if you know, but if a battery catches on fire, it burns at 3,600 degrees, and there's no way to extinguish it. You basically have to let it burn itself out. And so I was just wondering about the placement of a big battery bank like that next to our only road. If that area was to catch on fire, they would have to close the road. So that's the kind of thing I think about being in the oil field. We were always ready for the worst case scenario. And that would be a worst case scenario, but the road would be closed for days, if not a week or more.
Yeah, can you, speaking of your background, can you talk a little bit about kind of how your prior lived and work experience are conducive to this job?
Well, working in the oil field as a rig supervisor is what I've been doing the last, I think it's about 12 or 14 years. And it's a hands-on 24 hours a day management of a drilling operation. You're watching between 100 and 150 people. And you're spending, our burn rate, we call it, $200,000 to $300,000 a day. So you're basically, you train your mind and your people to think safely. And, each task is important, but you're also looking down the road a week to a month to 2 months. And it's a lot of fun. And I'll probably start working again here in about 6-8 months when the oil patch fires up. But I think it's a good fit for the HEA board, because I am very good at analyzing things and talking to people and getting people on board, with the best and safest way, most efficient way to do something. And there are a lot of shovel-ready jobs that HEA has. One of them is the Battle Creek. Has anybody told you about that? They're talking about diverting some water into the Bradley Lake from Battle Creek. So that's a really good project that give us more water and more electricity there. And the other one is the Grant Lake project. Those are both ready to go. So we have some good things coming up. And they have a long forecast, a 10 or 20 year forecast that hasn't been released yet. So I haven't seen it. And they've been talking about it. And if I get on the board, I'll be able to look at it and help them edit it.
What is something that HEA has done that you would have done differently, and what is something that HEA has done in the last couple of years that you think was a good decision?
Oh, well, I like their push towards hydroelectric, and that's been really good. And I think the, well, I don't like the placement of that battery bank on the highway. I think that was a bad idea. And I've even talked to some of the fire marshals around and the fire chiefs, and they're not sure, you know, what they would do in that situation. It's so close to the highway. But I'd like to see us, you know, steer towards trying to gain some more energy from geothermal. Geothermal is a true renewable. And studying the wind and solar, I've learned that they actually pollute the earth more. When you mine all the minerals required to build a big windmill, for instance, the windmills use way more energy to build them when you count all the energy up from the CO2 emitted from mining it. You probably don't know, but a windmill has a million pounds of cement just in the base. So when you, if you're trying to slow down CO2, wind and solar are not the scientific way to do it. They actually cause more, if that's your goal.
Tell me a little bit more about what you were saying about geothermal energy. What do you like about geothermal? And do you see HEA getting into geothermal?
I don't know if HEA is going to get into it. There is a little rig being built out in the valley right now. It's a coring rig, and they lifted it, and they put a sub base under it so it's further off the ground, so they could put a blowout preventer underneath so it can drill in oil and gas and into pressurized geothermal zones. And the contracts that rig might receive, and then I can't talk too much about it, would be down along the Aleutians. There's a lot of volcanic activity all the way out the Aleutian Islands. So the Ring of Fire that goes all the way out from starts here in the Cook Inlet, that's a really good source. So across the inlet, you could drill some geothermal wells.
Tell me about some other things you'd like to see HEA do and kind of what you'd advocate for on the board.
Well, on the board, the best thing I can see right now would be to keep our rates stable to declining. And I'm not sure about the details how we could do that at this point, but I know that the two projects I mentioned earlier, the Battle Creek Diversion and Grant Lake, would assist us in that. And I know we get a lot of our power, most of it from natural gas, and we're stranded. We don't have any competitors, so the price is higher than it is in Lower 48. It would be possible for us to maybe talk to Cook Inlet Energy and see if they could partner with HEA to drill a series of gas wells. They have a lot of good mineral leases that they're not exploring on right now. They have quite a few, you know, they have over 200,000 acres in the peninsula that they own the mineral rights. So that would be a possibility. I've helped drill some gas wells for CRE in the past on Swanson River Road. But the current system, the way it is, there's just one owner of the natural gas on the Kenai Peninsula, Hillcorp. So it's their price that they charge us is something, I don't know how negotiable it is. But as far as HEA, at this point, I'm not sure how we could get a better deal with natural gas unless there's the big pipeline from the slope is brought in. Of course, that'd drive all the prices down because then there'd be a lot of volume. So there are people talking about that. That would help HEA consumers.
That's all for this week's Kenai Conversation. Thanks to all the candidates for talking to us, Mike Chenault, Wayne Ogle, Eric Hendrickson, and Joseph Ross for District 1, and Ed Schmidt and Robert Wall for District 2. Just a quick editor's note, to the point that wind turbines pollute the earth more, wind turbines are made of materials that could potentially be damaging to the environment, but it's untrue that they're more harmful than fossil fuels. That's only true if the wind turbines are not placed well. In most cases, they do pay for themselves. A 2010 meta study by Kubizeski, Cleveland, and Andres found that the average wind turbine generated 20 times more energy than the energy used to produce it in its lifetime. Another reminder that ballots must be received by mail no later than 5 p.m. on May 5th. For more information, go to homerelectric.com. I'm Sabine Pooks. Thanks for tuning in.